Here is James Duthie, who was on TSN last night. James, you were part of the panel when the news broke, you know, that Walter Gretzky had passed away. You were just going into, I believe, the second intermission. And I thought you guys did a spectacular job last night. As tough news, 82 years old. But what was your reaction? And I know you had a bit of a relationship with Walter Gretzky over the years.
Yeah, reaction. It's funny. I guess some people had a bit of a heads up that Walter had been deteriorating. Hayes, I was not one of those, and so I was caught off guard by it. And you're right, the timing was odd. I think there was a minute and a half left in the second when Wayne sent out the tweet. But you know, you couldn't have a bunch of better guys around than Gord Miller and Pooley and Dregs and O-Dog to, you know, to be able to tell stories, all knowing Walter in a different way. I don't pretend to have known him incredibly well. Certainly had some very cool moments with him. I think I told it briefly on the air last night, but I got to play a round of golf with him. I guess it's probably 15 years ago now. And and that first book I wrote was called The Day I Almost Killed Two Gretzkys, which was when I almost hit Walter and then right. Wayne on successive holes with the ball. But that was just my favorite day. It was Gino and I and a friend of Wayne's, a business friend of Wayne's, who were playing with Walter. And, like, literally, like, some, you know, you're on a golf course for 4.5 hours, 5 hours, and all Walter did was look for golf balls the whole time. Like, we lost him maybe 50 times. Like, every tee box we'd be on, I'd be like, where's Walter? Walter, where's Walter? And I've heard a bunch of people repeat that story today, so clearly that's what he did all the time. But just everything as advertised. You know, sometimes when someone passes, and I think it's the human thing to do, is we exaggerate their great qualities and try to ignore the other ones. But I think Walter is pretty much as advertised in what everybody said today, right? The other thing I remember, you know, when he had that brain aneurysm and lost much of his memory, a lot of people say, and I don't pretend to, again, know him real well, that he changed, though. He kind of became a happier person. And in 2006, we covered the Olympics in Turin, and Hockey Canada had a house where basically it was for all the players and the families, but not because of me, but probably because of Bobby Mack and Gordo. We got let in there every night to have a couple of Molsons and hang out. And Walter was there every night, and he was just the light of the place every night. He would, all the other mums of all the players on Team Canada were there, and he'd go one by one and dance with them all. And I said, this is the happiest person I've ever seen in my life. So he was just a legit great dude.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all have our stories. I don't know if you ever crossed paths with him, Brian. Like, I mean, people have been calling him what, Canada's dad, right? Like,
Canada's hockey dad, yep.
Canada's hockey dad. I saw him several times and crossed paths with him. One time was unique. You guys know I'm friends with the band Theory of a Dead Man, and they were playing in the hometown, Brantford. That's where they're from, right? The Gretzkys. Mm-hmm. And he's like, obviously, like the mayor there, a god there, and there was like an outdoor festival, and I just remember he drove his car right up to the stage, like through the people and through everything. He had this old, like, I think it was like a Jaguar or something, and he was introducing like the band, or, you know, like he was kind of like the festival head or something. But instead of like just kind of showing up beside stage, like he drove his car like right up there. And I remember thinking, like, who is this guy like driving around? And it was
Walter Gretzky.
And, you know, meeting him at the rink and talking, you know, to him, just, I would never profess to, you know, say that he was a friend or anything, because I think he just met so many people in his life. But, you know, it was
so many stories about how nice and genuinely charming of a person.
You know, I've always said this about Wayne, that it's this amazing thing about Canada. We have 35 million people, and it's a massive country, but there's a lot of people that have a Wayne Gretzky story that have run into him somewhere. Yeah. And I think it's probably fivefold for Walter, that he's just been to so many minor hockey tournaments and so many rinks, and has just been around for so long that it seems like every person I've met has a Walter story, and they're always the same great stories about him, you know, signing an autograph or taking a picture or just doing something nice for somebody. So, yeah, just a big loss. I don't know that is there a more, you know, famous Canadian dad? I think Michael Farber so eloquent last night in his essay, and I think mentioned maybe Pierre Trudeau, but I'm not even sure. I think Walter might be Canada's, you know, foremost and most famous father.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think of Alan Thicke in a way too, when, because he played a dad on this famous show that he was on.
That's a good one.
You're right. No, Walter Gretzky was, and what made him so popular clearly was, you know, Wayne became who he was, but you don't become so popular and so beloved unless you bring something to the table, quote unquote, in terms of niceties, charming, abilities.
What do we want in Canadians? As Canadians, we want our, even our famous Canadians, our celebrities, to be humble and polite
and love the country.
Ordinary. That's what we want. And that, like, Walter was everything you would want to be. Like, you never let fame or get to him, or, you know, money, none of that ever. Stayed in the same house forever and just never, ever changed. And I think that's what we admired about him. And also, I think as a nation, we were just thankful that he gave us Wayne, right?
That's another thing. Like, it speaks to, like, his popularity speaks to how popular Wayne Gretzky was and still is, that his dad can be a household name that every Canadian connects to. And I think Gretzky was going to be there anyway, but I'm not sure we pay homage enough to the fact that what made it so much more popular is that he played for a Canadian team, that he played in Edmonton.
Yeah,
like, if he played his whole career in L.A. or St. Louis, I just don't think he'd be the same figure. Like, he had to play here, and I'm not sure we acknowledge that enough. And I think it makes me think of McDavid, who I don't think will ever get to Gretzky's stature in terms of popularity and status and who he is and what he did and all that. But at least he's here. Like, McDavid's, because it's a massive country, but it feels small if you play on one of the seven Canadian teams.
And there's one more aspect to it. And I think, you know, Wayne has a lot to do with how much we love Walter. And I'm not talking about Wayne's success as a hockey player, but Wayne always went out of his way to talk about Walter in every interview. And look, a lot of athletes talk about their moms and dads, but I'm not sure anyone spoke as much and as glowingly about his father all the time as Wayne did throughout his career. I think if you go back and analyze every Wayne Gretzky interview, the two people he mentioned the most are his dad and Gordie Howe. And he always says Gordie Howe's the greatest hockey player ever, even though, I'm sorry, Wayne Gretzky's the greatest hockey player ever. And he talks about Walter and how he owes everything to Walter. And so I think hearing that so often gets instilled in our mind, and one of the reasons we had so much admiration for Walter.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, just that family alone, like, Brian, you talked about, like, it's their household names, but I don't know. I'm just thinking as I saw Megan put up the picture of the Gretzky house, like, you mentioned the accolades, the, you know, the wealth, like, the fact that he never, like, wouldn't you think that Wayne would be like, you're moving into a mansion, or you're moving into this, or you know what I mean? Like, I just, and some people are so grounded, and maybe that's part of how grounded they are. Like, he would be like, just buy me a new TV. I'm good. You know, like, that type of thing. But I often wonder, like, why he didn't take the ride with Wayne as far as, like, you know, massive house or move, you know, Palm Springs, live there or whatever. Like, he just seemed to be very content where he was from. And
big Leaf fan too, was down at the Gardens all the time and down at Scotiabank all the time. That's where I would see him, you know, it felt like a couple times a year. That's probably not true, but, and it was just a kind of a buzz, you know. It was just, hey, Walter's here. And they'd always show him on the big screen too, which just says something also. Like, Gretzky never played here. He broke the hearts of Leaf fans in 93. And
I don't know if
his dad's
guys,
getting a standing O.
I don't know if you've had Gino on. Gino's very modest and doesn't talk a lot, but probably was closer to Walter than anyone, certainly in our business. And Gino would host a lot of the Gretzky events back in the day, you know, whether it was a golf tournament or whatever it may be. And Gino's would be better to tell the story, but he hosted one that had an auction, and one of the awards was a trip to Europe for two. And Wayne bought the trip and then said to Gino, I want you to go, but I want you to take Walter. Gino and Walter went to Europe.
No way. No way.
How do we not know that? Like, Gino and Walter backpacking in Europe, is staying in a hostel.
It should be a four-part Crave doc.
Oh, my goodness. We are missing that opportunity. That could be incredibly lucrative for the company to have Gino and Walter's European adventure.
Monday at 4 p.m., Gino Retta lays it out of his trip with Walter. Like, that is fantastic.
Well, you know, first of all, a typical Wayne generosity, but, right. what a thing for Gino to do. I'm not sure, and I don't know how old Walter was at the time, maybe 60, 65 or something, but I'm not sure if Wayne said, James, can you take Dad to Europe for a couple of weeks, that I'd be up for that.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, like maybe a cocktail down at the bar or something, but we'll see where it goes. That's a commitment. Awesome. That speaks to Gino's sensibility and how great of a guy he is too. But those are tough stories to be dealing with on the fly, but you guys did a great job of it last night, and good luck with this, buddy. We'll do this again down the road. We're going to talk about Robert Gomez and his scene down at the Arnie Palmer today. I don't know if you caught this, but you'd appreciate it. He carded a 92. He shot 92 today.
Wow.
And apparently he carded a 79 intentionally so he would get disqualified so it didn't count, which I think is brilliant.
That's greasy.
I like it a lot. I'm a big fan.
I might have to pull that next time I'm in one of those matches with Jerry
right.
D. It's just
exactly.
Sign the card and then everything else is null and void.
Oh, did I
just
sign that wrong?
For that.
I didn't even notice. I shot a 92. I didn't notice. I put 79 on the card. And
Gomez has one of the most legendary moments ever at that tournament.
Absolutely.
Where I think I just retweeted the other day, he holds out from the fairway, needs a birdie to get to a playoff, and holds out to the fair for Eagle to win with Greg Norman, who else, sitting and watching from the driving range waiting for a playoff. So, Gomez has a checkered history there. But
he's a piece of work, Gomez.
That's a good one.
I like that play.
That's awesome.
I support it. All right, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Yeah. All the best, guys.
James Duffy from TSN.